Coming to you live from the west side of the I Street Bridge, it's The Nate Darling Show.
Call me sir, goddammit.
With Jason Casey and Kareem Daniels. And now, trust him. He's a professional.
Pardon my French, but you're an asshole.
Here's Nate.
And welcome into another episode of The Nate Darling Show. Thank you for joining us. Thank you, everyone who's been shopping Amazon or Target through those Shop Amazon or Shop Target tabs at NateDarlingShow.com. They help support the show, so we do appreciate it. Oh, so much to get to this week. Hello, Jason.
What's going on, dog?
Not much. Kareem, how are you?
I'm trying to stay awake.
We'll try to keep you excited as we go through what we've got today. Something that sounds like Florida but isn't. We've got grievances to air.
Ooh.
And what happens when the Prime Minister of Ireland brings his boyfriend to meet Mike Pence? We'll get to all of those things, but before we do, I have the question that has been burning a hole in my mind for 24 hours now. Kareem, why are so many people of color eating at the Cracker Barrel?
California, Sacramento black people have no fucking clue. I swear to God.
So St. Patrick's Day, we went out to a bunch of different breweries out in Auburn, Rockland, Lincoln. And when we're coming back, we're like, where should we eat? And Leslie decides, oh, let's go to Cracker Barrel. Cause I hadn't been to Cracker Barrel. We hadn't been to the one in Sacramento yet. You know, big whoop.
Yeah.
I have never seen so many black people dressed up like Irish people in my life.
No fucking clue. And half of them are protesting right now.
It's true. It's true.
Half of them are protesting right now.
Yeah, it's quite a thing. All right, so since we last convened, Kareem, you went to Ohio.
Yes, I went to, I don't want to call it beautiful, Dayton, Ohio.
Oh, I drove through there. I drove through there when I moved out here. And the best thing was at the hotel, I was watching TV late at night and there were ads for the strip club near the mall.
Ah, damn it. I wish you had told me that before I went. I might have went to the strip club.
Oh, man. I don't think that's a great idea.
I mean, that's what you want to do. I mean,
yeah, Dayton was cool. The Wright brothers are actually from Dayton.
Mm-hmm.
I'm from North Carolina, and I never knew that because as far as Kitty we're concerned,
Hawk, yeah,
they just came up out of the sand at Kitty Hawk.
Sure.
So they're from there, and then the first black poet laureate is from there as well, who I just – damn, I just went blank on his name. I've been saying his name for like 3 days.
Sure, I hate when that happens.
And he actually went to school with the Wright brothers.
Oh, okay.
So – which is crazy because like it was like 1890 and they had an integrated high school in Dayton.
Mm-hmm.
The Wright brothers actually printed the newspaper that he started. It didn't last because they didn't make any money.
Right.
But they printed the first 3 issues of it for him for free. And he actually has, they gave him a bike, one of their bikes. You know, if you don't know, they started by making bicycles.
Okay.
So, those Flyer bicycles.
Oh, the Dayton Flyers.
The Dayton Flyers, that's where they come from. So
really the college, their mascot should not be a plane. It should be a bicycle.
Yes. Cause that's where it all started.
Bunch of goddamn frauds.
Hey, listen, you know, you're remembered for, the greatness that you brought and what does a lot of damage to the environment.
Yeah. And they, you know, and they had like a printing company too. So it was really cool. So I got the.
Well, I would imagine in order to invent things like planes that fly when they don't exist costs a lot of money, which means that you have to have a lot of sticks in different fires, right? Burning.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So you could have time and money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's Paul Lawrence Dunbar. That's his name.
Oh, there you go. See?
So, his house still sits there, which was fucking fascinating to me because, he had running water. He had hot running water in his house in 1910.
That was an achievement.
Yeah. He had like a bathtub, the way it was set up, they had like a, I don't even know what it was, but it was like a steamer. Uh-huh. So it steamed the water and he had hot running water upstairs in the upstairs indoor bathroom in the indoor toilet. And I was like, I didn't have that in 1970. So that was cool. I went to Cincinnati, hung out with my brother, Billy, who, so he's like the older brother who left the house before you could really get to know him.
Okay. So he's significantly older.
Significantly older than me. And he's like a executive at P&G. So he's like the standard for what you're supposed to do.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Procter & Gamble.
Yeah.
Oh, those Satan worshippers?
Yes.
I question like about Cincinnati, because like Cincinnati is one of those cities. Not only does it have like a, you know, a name from, you know, thousands of years ago, but also like, what's the city like? Like comparatively to Sacramento, like, is it like seem old? Does it feel old?
It seemed old.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they had some cool downtown was cool. The I went to the Underground Railroad Museum. So
oh yeah.
And the wind coming off of that fucking river. Yeah.
Cold.
Yeah. I was telling Nate before you got here, it was so cold on Friday. I was contemplating whether I was going to go out and get food or not.
Wow.
Like, I was going to go to bed hungry because I was just like, nah, fuck that. I'm not going to make it out there.
Did you have the famous chili from Cincinnati?
I did not.
God, you didn't have a nice big bowl of Cincinnati steamer?
No. I rented a nice Cadillac that had seat warmers and steering wheel warmer.
Steering wheel warmers are the best.
Yes. I was like, oh my God, I'm so glad I did this. Cause I was going to get a truck.
Yeah.
But I was like, I always drive a truck. Let me get something I don't do. So I got a luxury vehicle.
Nice.
Yeah.
Leslie's Chevy Volt has steering wheel warmers. And here you wouldn't think, whatever. But those mornings when it's down in the upper 30s and you get in the car and the heated seats automatically come on, yeah, and the steering wheel automatically warms up.
It was 27 and I think it was 21.
That's actually pretty warm for this time of year.
Yeah. And I was like, yeah, thank God.
Man, it was so beautiful this weekend.
It was
really like this is the like this week mm-hmm. is my favorite week
yeah.
of living in California and Sacramento.
Low 70s until it rains.
It'll be like, but like this is the great week that we'll have. Like this is the week where you don't need air conditioning or heat.
Yeah.
And that's it.
You know what this is? This is the greatest week of summer in Vermont.
Yeah.
The weather this week is the greatest week of summer in Vermont.
Oh, man.
Oh, wow.
Literally the only week of summer in Vermont. But,
and people are sweating. Oh, man, we need to get some. It's
good times.
Yeah. And Vince lives out in the fucking boonies. I can't even say he lives out in the boonies. Everything out there is the fucking boonies.
Yeah, once you get out of downtown.
Yeah.
Jason, what were you up to?
So, a couple of weeks ago, before Chris was sick, not that that matters, but I told her that I wanted her to go and like have like a day by herself, you know, to do whatever she wants to before this next baby's here. Cause we had a baby moon.
Yeah.
But there needs, mommy deserved a mommy moon.
She just deserved to be away from you and the child.
Yeah, exactly. So I'd forgotten that was so like on Monday we get a thing saying that we needed a guest for Anti-Cooperation League, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I ask you and you say you would. I'm like, oh, awesome, that'll be great. I'm looking forward to it. And then the very next day, I'm talking to Chris. Chris is like, oh yeah, I'm going to Lindy's this weekend. I'm like, oh shit, I just booked Nate. I was like, okay, well, you know what? I will get my brother to come watch CJ, and that is that's what I'll do. And I'll make it. My brother said yes, so I was like, I'm in. And then on Saturday morning, like Michelle sent out the list of people that were in the show,
right?
And it was there's the seven people that were in the show. We generally try to keep it to seven people.
Yeah, that's a good amount.
Eight people. One of the people doesn't get paid. Or we get a performer from another group that hasn't had a chance to perform on ACL. So she sent something out like right before I got this, like right after I called you, or right before I called you.
Right.
Anyhow, so I wasn't on the list. So I wasn't, I was, I like, because Chris had, I took myself off the list weeks ago.
Right.
And just not thought about, cause I don't look at the, like, I looked at the list and yeah, I missed it. So, I apologize. But it really wasn't about me anyways.
No.
It was about you and you having a, you know, being a guest. So
yeah, it went really well. Fun story. We got there early because we wanted to see Lady Business, which was on at 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
And we go up near the door. It's a little before Lady Business. And I see Brian, the owner of the Comedy Spot. And I wave to him and he waves back. And then something happens. And he's like, everybody clear out. We're going to try and clear the house. So I don't see him again. So we buy tickets and go in. We buy combo tickets. Leslie and I do. And I go to the bar and I buy a beer for each of us. And we're sitting down there. And Brian comes up and goes, hey, how's it going? He goes, you guys didn't pay to come in, did you? And I said, yeah, of course we did. Of course we did, because you didn't tell anybody anything otherwise. So we weren't going to make a big stink. I'm not going to be up there at the podium going, do you know who I am? I'm the guest on Anti-Cooperation League. You are to let me in right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, we and it, not that it's a big deal. I mean, it's $15 for the two shows and it was great entertainment. So, that was fine. It was interesting. It made me miss doing improv a little bit.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Just a little bit. But then I remember all of the rehearsal that has to go into it and all the politics that can go into being in a group and all of that other stuff. And, then I remembered why I started a podcast.
You know, it's funny. Like, The group right now, the way that it is, it's a really good, like, it's a really good vibe that we all have going on right now.
Well, and half the cast was in Lady Business too.
Yeah.
So, so it was like, oh, okay. Hey, how's it going?
Yeah.
But no, it was a really good show. Everybody did a nice job. It was fun. Crowd seemed to enjoy every bit of it. Got to tell some stories and yeah, talk about the new business, which, the lease is signed and, we're waiting on, I'm waiting to get the executed lease back and we're still waiting to hear when we're going to be able to go in.
Awesome.
Because they do not have the certificate of occupancy yet.
Eh.
And, you know, they put the big for lease sign out on the building. So right. They're obviously confident they're going to be getting it soon.
Right.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But, I'm guessing we'll be able to get in there sometime late April and, soft launch in May, open in June as we had said. So, it's all very exciting. But stressful.
Yeah.
Stressful with everything else going on.
A lot of stuff going on.
So I want to, go back. If you listened, was it last week or the week before? It was 2 weeks ago. Talked about a big personal announcement that I had, and we had a new baby in the house. And you can go ahead and forget all of that because unexpectedly to us, there was a complete, well, without getting into too much detail, there was a very big lack of communication between the county and our agency and us regarding the birth father. And we met the birth father. We got a visit scheduled and we brought the kid in and we met him and nothing seemed off about him. We're like, well, this is interesting. And later that afternoon, we got a call from the social worker saying, hey, by the way, the judge has decided to reunify the birth father with the child. And we're going to go ahead and do that on Friday.
Oh. Ouch.
So, yeah, it was a pretty big blow. And because we had, you know, we bonded with this kid. We had her for two. At that point, we had her for two solid weeks. We got her when she was 5 days old and we had two solid weeks with her. And you bond with a baby in that amount of time. And we had our social worker say, you're bonding with the baby, right? You're making sure you're bonding with the baby. Yeah, of course we are. And everybody's saying it's going to be at least 6 months, blah, blah. So from talking to the dad, and we met him again on Friday when brought her back in, and we actually went over to his house on Saturday because we had forgotten a few things. And he's been very open and welcoming and everything like that. But as heartbreaking as our side of the story is, his side of the story is probably even more heartbreaking because, without getting into too much detail, the mother couldn't have custody of the baby, but they went to the probation department and said, hey, this person is pregnant, but this is the father and he's going to take custody. And they said, okay, no problem. And in the hospital, the baby is less than 24 hours old. He went to the cafeteria to get some food, and they came in and took the baby.
Oh, damn.
And there was literally no reason for it. And he had difficulty getting answers or talking to anybody, and he was met with delays. So when we picked her up, we knew he had a hearing the following day, and we were told, don't worry about it. We're not recommending reunification. Because we're like, what's going on? But we got no information back. And when we brought her in for a visit that morning, 2 weeks later, we were like, well, so what is the court requiring to do? And he goes, nothing really. And we go, well, that's really odd. So basically, imagine you are a new father and you're there for the birth. You go down to get some food and you come back and they've taken your new baby.
Yeah.
And you can't get answers. And then you go through 2 weeks of dealing with that. So those 2 weeks where we were bonding with that baby and having all of these loving feelings, he was being torn apart by that. So for us, it's this really bittersweet thing because ultimately it's a success story. The kid is with her family. She is being taken care of.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's one of those things where you just got to sort of adult up and deal with it. But it's knowing what we know now, we would have asked more and different questions. But even our agency couldn't get answers from that county when we were saying, what do we know about the father? What's going on with that?
Yeah.
And they could not get calls back.
Oh, man. It seems like there's so much in the story that, like,
it's a terrible story all the way around. Well, for everybody but the baby, because she at every moment was well taken care of. But for us and for him, it was just really shitty.
Well, I feel like there's so much that happens for that child though within that first couple of weeks, like all the way down to there's something that comes, like when women breastfeed with a baby, when a brand new child comes out, there's something called colostrum that comes out of the breast, right?
Uh-huh.
And this has like super nutrients in, it's highly caloric. Like it's food of gods pretty much. All right. But aside, not just that, cause like not everybody can have that. And that's not something that all women are, right? But the skin to skin and the bonding that happens for that 2, 3, 4 weeks right there at the beginning right mm-hmm. there.
And that's all stuff we were doing.
I know. But I mean, moving it between people, like the child, like that's disrupting, like what, yeah. So it sucks. That sucks. And like, I really feel that like, I want to burn this county to that, not the county that this was in. I want to burn it to the ground. Like it sounds like they're almost like were something prejudicial to keep the father from having the baby, you know?
I don't want to get into it at all because it would not be fair to him and it would not be fair to them. And
right.
Basically we're going off of what he said.
Right.
But it all adds up.
Yeah.
Because we went from, oh yeah, don't worry about it, there's not going to be anything like that, to, oh hey, in 3 days.
So, shit. So last week when there was a little girl in LA who got killed by her mother's boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're online, you're seeing the story about what happened. And in the comments, you see people yelling about, well, what about the father? Where's father?
Right.
And you have a case like this where the father's trying to be the father.
Yeah, absolutely.
And in that case, the mother took the kid, disappeared.
Mm-hmm. In this case, the mother was saying, the father is down in the cafeteria. Call him. He'll come right back.
Yeah. And it's just a
nuts.
It's absolutely insane.
And with the project that I'm working on, what it says to me is that fathers aren't valued.
No, absolutely not.
Because everybody put the blame on the father for not being there, not understanding all the things that he was going to try to be there.
Right.
And then discounting what he had done because the system didn't work in his favor.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah. It's unfortunate, yeah. But the big picture answer here is, despite all of the heartache on his part for 2 weeks and on our part for the time that we're going to be mourning the loss of this person that was in our home and in our lives.
Yeah.
She's healthy and being well taken care of. And that's really the goal.
Yeah.
That's ultimately the goal. She is with, and her dad obviously cares. He's invested, and being able to see where he lives, and that it is a decent place, and it's not
squalor.
Yeah, it's not one of those things where they're like, well, all right. So it was just really a kick
clean
in the gut.
Clean up house or apartment, and
yeah, it was just really a kick in the gut for us, and. It came out of nowhere. And so it's just been stuff that we're sort of dealing with and working through, and appreciate everyone's support who has reached out about that. And it's just really weird because you're like, what the? But that's the thing. It doesn't have anything to do with us.
Right.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with us. And that's part of the bargain that you get into when you go into foster to adopt. Although there was another thing where they had categorized us as emergency placement, and that's not what we are. We were never supposed to be emergency placement. And in fact, the call we got said the child is in emergency placement. Do you want to take her? And we said, sure. And if you go to the paperwork, it says we're checked off as foster to adopt, not emergency placement. And no, we've never signed up for that. So, a lot of people were misled about a lot of different things. And it's really unfortunate. And it happens more often than it really should.
Yeah. We were excited for you guys.
You know, it was one of those, and we had turned the corner. If they would have said, you know what, there's a hearing tomorrow, there's a chance that, we would have been like, okay, we'll have her for a few days, but everything after that, because we didn't hear anything, everybody was saying, you know, it's probably going to be 6 months before there's another hearing. I guess the good thing is that it wasn't 6 months, because as hard as it was after 2.5 weeks to bring her back and turn her over, the idea of having her in our home for 6 months and then having to give her back would have been so much more
right.
Yeah.
Emotionally heart-wrenching. It's just a real kick in the groin all the way around. So, we went out. That's why one of the reasons we went out to tour some breweries yesterday on Sunday.
Understood.
Yeah. That and my buddy is getting married, and I'm in the wedding, and we're required to wear a kilt and a black brewery T-shirt. So I was on the hunt for a t-shirt.
Oh, okay.
As well as other things. So anywho, let's move beyond that. Let's move on to something, I guess, happy. Happy, I guess, would be the proper term. Our boy Johnny Manziel, or as I call him, Johnny F-ball, short for football, has signed with the new Alliance of American Football's Memphis Express. He was released by the Montreal Alouettes in the CFL a couple weeks ago. He's back out on the practice field rocking the number 2 and had his famous swagged out visor screwed into his face mask. No word yet on how he looked throwing on his first day on the job, but the league seemed really stoked to hire him over the weekend. They said, we are pleased to welcome Johnny Manziel to the Alliance of American Football, which we've always described as a league of opportunity for talented players to launch or revitalize their pro careers. That's according to the co-founder and head of football for the Alliance, Bill Polian. The GM of the Express added, I've always viewed him as a viable option, so we'll look into the situation and see how it works out for us. He's there. By the way, head coach of, the reason they got him is they do it geographically.
Yeah.
So the San Antonio team actually had right of first refusal on him, and they said, nah. And that mean the team with the worst record had the next shot at him, which was Memphis. And the coach of Memphis is great linebacker and terrible coach Mike Singletary.
Of course they did.
Yeah. Yeah. Mike Singletary. There's no one that coaches him up better than old Mike Singletary.
Especially fuck ups.
Jesus Christ.
He should be calling Johnny fuck up.
Johnny F ball.
How do you get kicked out of the CFL?
It was unclear. He apparently had violated some sort of agreement that was like, okay, I will or won't do X, Y, or Z. And if you violate that, you're out. Well, apparently he did, whatever it was. That was never released.
He said, how do you get kicked out of CFL?
You don't abide by the contract.
That's how you do it.
I wonder
if somebody has the time to make a contract for you to sign,
mm-hmm.
You better believe that they're going to enforce every single word of that contract.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know that.
Especially someone like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're not letting him slide on that.
So I wonder if he saw the new league and decided he wanted to go there so he would do something fucked up to get kicked out.
I don't know, because the CFL was in the off season, so anything is possible. It's possible that he just went, you know what, I'm not going to get the exposure I need here, so I'm going to violate this little thing and be on my merry way.
So then is he Johnny F for fucktard, or is he Johnny F for
I'm just shortening football to F ball. Johnny F ball. Meanwhile, in New Hampshire, pull into the parking lot at this Stop and Shop on French Kings Highway. It all seems quiet, but for the supermarket's workers on Monday afternoon, it was business as usual. Some stock shelves, some helped customers find that brand of tomato sauce they were looking for. Over at the open registers, a different image came into sharper focus. The United Food and Commercial Works local employees wore pins in solidarity. United we bargain, divided we beg, and respect our contract. Now, the day before in Chicopee, Mass., a two-state bargaining unit authorized the right to strike as the Stop and Shop workers chose to not vote on their contract. The grocer and its workers remain at odds over issues like wages, hours, and health insurance, like everybody else does. As the employees say, Stop and Shop, with its 17 stores, is focused on automation, even as the business says it's focusing on lowering product prices for customers. Here's where it gets really interesting. Let me scroll down here. According to Stop and Shop, an average in Massachusetts, a full-time grocery clerk makes $19.57, a produce clerk $17.22, a bakery clerk $18.31, and a front-end clerk $15.90. So not a ton of money, but
yeah,
you know, seems to be okay. But here's what Stop and Shop has done recently. They've introduced an automated machine, bless you, with big googly eyes, which is named Marty. My Google alert for news on googly eyes came into play here. When you walk into the Greenfield Stop and Shop, the highlighter pink sign next to the automatic doors reads, "This store is monitored by Marty for your safety." Marty is an autonomous robot that uses image capture technology to report spills, debris, and other potential hazards to store employees to improve your shopping experience. What do we think of Marty?
Marty's a narc.
It's really just a way to keep an eye on the workers, isn't it?
Yeah.
I was like, Marty seems like a red herring to me. Jason, would you be okay with Marty watching over your every move?
I mean, I worked for a large corporation at one point, mm-hmm. So I mean,
they have their own Marty.
Yeah, I mean, and people have it's part of working, like having somebody look over you and tell you what you're like. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, there's managing you, and then there's watching every movement that you make.
And then eventually, the workers will revolt against Marty.
Somebody's going to spill something on Marty.
Yeah.
Oh, no. What's going on with Marty?
Yeah, Marty won't make it too long.
So this past week, as we know, Mike Pence, kind of a homophobic douche.
Yes.
And vice president, former governor of Indiana, former senator. Very anti-LGBTQ. Won't dine with a woman without his wife present. So the Irish prime minister came to D.C. and brought his boyfriend to meet Vice President Mike Pence.
That's the best thing I heard all weekend.
Right? It was amazing. His name is Leo Varadkar, and he brought his partner Matthew Barrett with him to breakfast with Vice President Mike Pence. Some people online were quick to point out the juxtaposition because Pence has consistently received harsh criticism from LGBTQ activists. Pence, a conservative Christian, has not been quiet about his opposition to same-sex marriage in the past. Once saying on the House floor, societal collapse was always brought about by following an advent of the deterioration of marriage and family. On his last trip to the U.S. last year, the prime minister had a closed-door meeting with Pence, and after the prime minister of Ireland told the reporters that he had brought up the issue of LGBTQ rights with him, he also said Pence and his wife were told that he and his partner were very welcome to visit their home in the future. So, very weird. Very weird situation.
Hey, if you don't want to be in gay marriage, don't marry a gay person.
True.
That's all you need to do.
Mm-hmm. The other scandal that happened this past week was the big kids getting into college through the side door, through their parents doing business with a guy who actually has ties to Sacramento. And they would falsify test scores, you know, Photoshop the kids' heads onto athletes to get them athletic scholarships into school. The big rub is, the way they paid this off was there was this quote unquote charity where the parents donated it to that was funneling all of this money through. And they went ahead and wrote it off as a charitable deduction on their taxes.
Yeah.
Which is what may be getting some of them into a little bit more hot water than you might think. For instance, if you have not heard, Felicity Huffman was arrested Roger Stone style with seven FBI agents showing up at her door with guns drawn at 6 a.m.
That was ridiculous.
No. That was a show of force and a don't be doing shit like this or we will show up at your house with guns. Lori Loughlin, Aunt Becky from Full House, was out of the country. So they couldn't do the same thing with her. Her husband is Italian designer Massimo. You might remember him from walking into Target and seeing the terrible clothes in the men's section. He's that Massimo.
Yeah.
My favorite green shirt was a Massimo shirt.
Sure. Well.
So, a crazy thing about her is her daughter didn't even want to finish high school.
Well, her daughter is clearly a hot idiot.
But there's video of her saying she wants to quit her senior year in
high
school.
She's a YouTube influencer. I mean, that's what she does. Like, she,
part of that's because she got into college.
Right.
It was all about being in college. She wanted to quit high school.
She was an influencer before college.
Well, everything that they're talking about now is her in college.
Right. But
I'm just saying, you spent that much money on somebody who didn't want to go to college to be in college.
Yeah. And here's the deal. She's starting to get the backlash over her parents' alleged involvement in the scandal as well. Amid a flurry of criticism and hashtag boycott Sephora tweets, Sephora is ending its relationship with her. She's the 19-year-old social media influencer. And they allegedly paid $500,000 in bribes to get her and her sister designated as recruits into the USC crew team, despite the fact that neither girl ever rode crew. Although, ironically, she was on a yacht of a USC booster when these arrests went down.
Yeah.
Pretty weird, right? She's capitalized on her experience at USC with sponsored posts for various brands. She's also worked with beauty retailer Sephora on a number of occasions to promote its products, attend events, and collaborate on the Olivia Jade Times Sephora Collection Bronze in Illuminate Palette. But Sephora put out a statement last Thursday announcing the end of the partnership after careful review of recent developments. We've made the decision to end the Sephora Collection partnership with Olivia Jade effective immediately. Hallmark Channel also dropped her mom. So yeah, she won't be doing any more Hallmark movies.
They dropped her hard.
Yeah, they're like, Hallmark Channel doesn't want your alleged felony ass on our channel anymore.
Oh, all them bastards do it. Every one of those fucking executives paid for their kid to get in school.
Yeah, but they did it through donations.
Yeah, Jared Kushner got into Harvard because his dad
bought a building. Yeah.
But we know about that. It's not the getting, so there's the getting into school part of it that pisses a lot of people off. The real crime here and the thing that's going to take these fuckers down is the phony charitable donation that they wrote off as a charity.
That's the real crime. That's the crime that's going to take them down. But, so they had people who took the SATs test for him.
Uh-huh.
One guy had a doctor say that his daughter was developmentally disabled so she could get more time to take the SAT and the ACT. When the fucking people from the SAT had a black girl who had a great score, who improved her score by studying, they took her to task about her improving her score.
Right.
So you didn't check to see how these motherfuckers improved their scores, but this person who actually worked to improve their score, you have a problem with that. This is the ultimate white privilege.
You know the thing that's funny about it too. I mean, more than anything else, is that like this right here is like elitism at its most. Like this is the 1%, 0.5% that like, you know, I read this really great post by somebody where they post like, they're like, you know, the people that are just kind of rich, you know, they do it through, you know, people that might take the tests for them or, you know, do it these other ways. The people that have the more money, they like do the Lori Loughlin style way. Mm-hmm. And then the people that are even richer are just blatant about it and they buy buildings for their kids.
Right.
Or they'd go illegally and they'd just buy somebody their way in also, which is one person, the 1.5 million somebody paid to, right? Wasn't it?
There were a number of things. There were a number of different universities. The tennis coach at Georgetown pocketed like $3 million.
So this is a class warfare type of thing. Like more than anything else. Like meanwhile, like Trump supporters and everybody look at it like Hollywood elite because that's the face that they put on it.
Yeah.
You know, but that's not, but this is a rich people doing what rich people do to keep the, you know, I mean, because what happens is the low level, like no matter which rich level it is, what this leads to is an internship, which is free at a, you know, Fortune 100 company in a management position that's unpaid, but they can be unpaid because they come from a rich family and they can live wherever they need to live. And then they become an executive and then the fuckery just continues. And that's the way that these people stay in. You know, I mean, right? I mean,
But you just mentioned the Georgetown tennis team. Georgetown tennis team doesn't make any fucking money.
Right.
So the Georgetown tennis team is on the back of the Georgetown basketball team. So that means that another group of black people are playing for your white ass to go to school.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know. There could be black kids too, just from rich families.
There could be, but I don't think that they were paying for their kids to get into school. And
I'm not going to discriminate that way. It could be anybody that's paying for it. But yes, you are correct. It is going to affect. It's going to affect the poorer people.
Yeah.
As all of this does, the one of the more interesting takes that I saw this week was, hey, you ever wonder why you always have that idiot boss, and you're wondering how did they get to that position where they're a boss?
Yep.
Here's how.
Yeah.
Here's how. I remember in college because I took a few business classes. It was my minor, and I remember because I was a mass comm major. You know, the hard one, and taking the business classes, and I was stunned, just stunned at how dumb most of the guys in business class were. I mean, they were idiots, and they were all in fraternities.
Yeah.
Because they're idiots, they're in business, they're in fraternities to make connections while in school and with other idiots who are in fraternities who work their way out. If you're wondering why the fraternity system is a thing, it's not just to get together, buy friends, and drink beer, and occasionally rape. It's not just for that.
Yeah.
It's so that you can get out of school with your addled brain and your mediocre level of talent and intellect and be put into a position where you're going to be put in a junior management track in a larger company because there's somebody else who was in that fraternity maybe not even at your school, but at a different school. Oh, you're SIEP or you're whatever. Not disparaging SIEP individually. They just came to my mind.
Yeah.
But that's what happens is you get that connection and it's like, oh, you must be okay. You're from my fraternity.
Yep.
And it's that it's a weird, weird tribalism. So it's just very, very strange how this all comes together. But Aunt Becky.
But in the meantime, you're fighting affirmative action. How did those black people and brown people get in school? And you sewing.
Kareem, I went to the State University of New York at Plattsburgh. The only black people that were there were on the basketball team.
I know.
Because it's cold as fuck.
Yes.
It was.
But I'm saying the white chick that sued the University of Texas.
Yes.
It's like, well, did you check the other people at the top of the list?
That's the other thing. That's what it is.
I mean,
you're automatically going, oh, it's all of these African Americans. Would no, it's all of these rich people.
Yeah.
Who may or may not be African American. We don't know.
They're just rich people.
Rich people. Rich has no color. It's just green. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. All right. So,
Is that your new bumper sticker?
Rich has no color.
Rich has no color. Ooh, that could be a t-shirt.
And now it's time for the airing of the fucking grievances.
It's just clear.
Just a picture of a smiling Benjamin Franklin with a grill. All right, Kareem, you're the one who prompted all this. You said you had a grievance. Let's start with you.
Did you cue up the...
Go ahead and start with your thoughts.
Okay. This is for everybody in the United States who is fucking ignorant of people from different cultures. People with turbans are generally Sikh people. They are not fucking Muslims. They do not bomb anything. They haven't killed anyone in the United States that I am aware of. So, if you get on a fucking airplane with them, if you see them in a store, they are not going to bomb you. Sit your dumb country ass down somewhere. Go read a fucking book. Go talk to somebody who doesn't look like you and learn something.
All right, here's the clip you were talking about.
Where are you going? Where are you going?
Homie, if I'm scared, I'm scared. Fuck y'all. Fuck how y'all feel. Y'all mad at me because I don't side with every other black person. Because I don't side with every other race. Fuck y'all. I feel how I feel. I felt threatened, and that was it. Fuck y'all. And I'm not flying there. We were evacuated, bitch. Why? Why? With no reason explained at all. No technical difficulties or nothing. Y'all gonna listen to Just With The Mess one day. Because my news is real. So how ironic is it that we boarded the same plane and I don't see those people? Yeah, we're fully boarded.
Yeah.
Eat my ass.
So, she forgets to mention that they boarded and the people aren't there because you fucking complained about the people. You dumb internet whore.
Her name is @Jess_hilarious.
Yeah, fuck you. I hope they kick your ass off of the Little Rail Show and that you are never heard from again. You dumb, ignorant, excuse me, I'm going to offend some people, cunt. Because that's what you are. You're a fucking cunt for putting those people through that bullshit. Because you don't know a goddamn thing.
That's a fair one. That's a fair one. I would sort of piggybacking on that, and this isn't my grievance at all, but I think we've come to a point where you just saying I felt threatened or I felt scared isn't enough. Because I respect the fact that you might feel threatened or scared, but we kind of need to know why.
I am so fucking done. Our society right now, everybody is so fucking sensitive and everybody like, oh, don't say that. No, it's fucking bullshit. It's fucking bullshit. I'm tired of it. It's across the fucking board. Every fucking group is, oh, I'm so offended. No, fuck you and your offense. I'm fucking tired of your offense about every goddamn thing. You live in a fucking world where there are people. guess what? People are going to do fucked up shit. Some people are going to do some shit that you don't like, and you don't, and everybody doesn't have to like everybody. Everybody doesn't have to like the same shit. I'm tired. I'm done with it. And this, like I said, this was the fucking, oh my God. And you're going to be mad because people are mad at you for being ignorant? So I can't call you ignorant when you've been ignorant? Get the fuck out of here with that bullshit.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, if you legitimately feel threatened, go and tell somebody, I feel threatened because somebody did this. Then, okay, now there's a reason why you feel threatened. Someone made a gesture. Someone did something threatening toward you. I feel threatened because somebody who is wearing a turban is sitting behind me. That might be a reason to move your seat on the plane.
Yeah.
But,
You get the fuck off the plane.
Yeah.
How about if you not inconvenience them because they need to get where they're going?
Well, how about the entire plane?
Yeah.
Just go, I don't feel comfortable. There's a man with a turban there. All right, ma'am, get off the, if you want to hop off the plane, we'll reschedule you for the next flight.
Yeah. That simple.
Yep. Absolutely. Jason, what's been, stuck in your craw?
That shit right there. No. Man, fuck those people. I don't know, man. I'm trying not to let myself get upset too much, but like, I mean, I just get upset by white people every week. You know, like every time, like, and I love my wife and I love her parents and I love her cousins, but some of her aunts and uncle-in-law, I just like,
what?
They post shit that is just so blatantly like just racist and out of touch and just like sometimes just blatantly just like, I just don't like anti-democratic, just like so like far, so far to the right. So one of them posted, made a stupid, like, so they made the post, they make posts sometimes with like a picture of the flag saying, this has been determined to be hate speech now, right? I've talked about this shit before,
I've seen those.
Yeah. Like, this is determined to be a hate speech now, like, share to make somebody mad or something like that. It's like, it's a picture of the fucking flag. Like, get the fuck out of here. That's not hate speech to any fucking person. And you posting that is being a fucking idiot and trying to, like, stoke people's anger and, like confrontation. Like, why would you do that? Why are you trying to stoke flames that shouldn't be stoked? Like, especially like that. That we need to be going in the opposite fucking direction. And these people call themselves Christians. Like, that's the thing that fucking upsets me more than anything else is the blatant hypocrisy in what's being done there. And I know that it's been happening for centuries, but I've only been alive for fucking 42 years, and I'm fucking sick and tired of people like this that think that there's, like, that things are so hard for them, yet they buy, like, they have a house, they own their house, like, they have retired, like, they are living fine. Like, what is so shitty about their fucking lives? What's so shitty that they have to, like, that they're so concerned about, then, like, communism, like, get the fuck out of here. Like, get the, first of all, you live in upstate New York, nobody wants to go up there, especially right now. Nobody wants to be anywhere near your fucking place. Keep your fucking guns, whatever. But even more than that, like, you have a child that's transitioned, and you ignore her, and you kill her name, like, you kill her with using her old name on a regular basis, and you don't just accept her for who she is, and like, but you're a Christian, it's cool, you know, that's fine. But you post shit that's, like, completely against your daughter, and, like, is, like, just blatantly, like, just shitty. And then, like, so today, they post a thing about Warren, you know, like, if you, dear Miss Warren, Congress, it doesn't even say, like, Congresswoman Warren, it says Senator, it says Miss Warren, all right? Not even, like, giving her rightful, respectful name, whether or not you like her or not, she was elected by people in her state, period. People voted for her, and she has a place to be there. She did not break a law to be in that fucking space. But anyhow, that's fine. You want her to retire. Well, then one of their friends posts after that, "or die," in all capitals. And I'm like, why are you like, why are you really saying that you want somebody to die because you don't agree with their politics? And I just asked that blatantly of the person. I tagged him and I said, "Are you do you really want somebody to die because you don't like?" What the fuck is wrong with people? There's white fucking people, racist people are losing their fucking minds, and I'm fucking done with them, man. Like, if you're family and you're related to me, you're really lucky. You're really lucky that you're gonna get at least one pass from me. If you're my father, you get a lot of passes, but that's unfortunately because he has contributed to me being here with his sperm. But like, you know what I mean? Like you're getting a pass, one or two.
Are you telling me that your dad called me the N-word after I left the party?
No, no, no. But he did. He did refer to somebody buying his house as a towel head.
Because I had fun with your dad.
Yeah, my dad. My dad. Here's the thing: is my dad says things because he hears other people say them, you know, and like he hangs out with like you. You are who you hang out with.
Sure.
You are. And if you're a racist, that means you're probably hanging out with racist people and you're in your little fucking bell. And that's fine for you. But you have no place with me and I will call your shit out on it. Like, you're lucky that family members are family members. And that's like, so there's some luck there. But there's only a certain point that I can handle it to. Luckily, Chris's dad would jump in sometimes if we're out of the
like, ho, we don't need any of that.
No, because he's at least semi, you know, intelligent. He's not a racist.
That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what I'm tired of fucking white people that just don't get it and don't understand and are just completely like.
Just glad to know you didn't marry into the Klan.
Man. Yeah.
I have a couple. I'm going to keep the first one short and sweet. If a bunch of different white nationalists who shoot people say they admire you for what you stand for and what you say, then you're probably a white nationalist, and you're probably racist, and you're definitely president of the United States right now. So there's that. So all of your minions coming out and saying, oh, well, why do we even have to say that? Why do we have to keep coming out and saying that he's not racist? Well, because all the racists keep hearkening back to his words. So clearly it's a message that's resonating with them. Just saying. But to a less important thing that's irked me. Idiotic phrases posted online. So we all hate when someone posts something and then they're like, owning the libs, right? Uh-huh. Okay, well, I have the companion piece to owning the libs, and that is smashing the patriarchy. Oh, this smashed the patriarchy. You sound just as stupid as own the libs guy.
Thank you.
I'm so fucking sick of it. You're not smashing the patriarchy. Nothing in a fucking Marvel movie is smashing the patriarchy. What even is smashing the patriarchy? What does that even mean? Do you even know what that means? Is it a symbolic thing? Does it have anything to do with anything? Or is it just you making yourself feel good by spouting the phrase, just like those other idiots who are going, owning the libs?
It's become an excuse for women to do fucked up shit and then not be called out on it.
Well, even I'm not even talking about that. I went to see Captain Marvel today. At no point did I feel the patriarchy was smashed, despite all of the references to that I've seen on social media. Captain Marvel is a female lead character. The movie was written by women, mostly. And I enjoyed the movie for what it was. It was okay.
Can we talk about Captain Marvel for a second?
We can.
Because I think it has the unfortunate problem of coming out when it does. Like, I think right now all I want to see and all I want to, like, all I care about, because I felt like, I felt the same way. I watched it, I was like, it was okay, it was good, but it definitely wasn't my favorite thing. Like, it wasn't as much fun as, like, a Guardians of the Galaxy movie.
No.
Or, like, it wasn't as funny. And it wasn't like Ant-Man and Wasp, which was like a kind of like a neat rom-com, you know, daddy-daughter. Like, there was like a cool element there. But it just happened to come out right before Avengers Endgame. And, like, that's all anybody cares about right now. That's all, that's, I mean, that's all I want to fucking see.
Sure. There's that, and then there's the fact that it's really, really slow-moving. It's an origin story that moves incredibly slow. There's a lot of her having these little flashbacks, but she has them repeatedly with nothing added to it, with nothing to go, oh yeah, we're advancing the story. No, it's the same thing over and over and over again. The fight scenes, they were good. They were fine. It was an okay movie. It did not smash the patriarchy. It was not better than Wonder Woman. It was not a great Marvel movie. It was okay. And it was necessary because Avengers Endgame has Captain Marvel and she can't just show up with no fucking explanation as to who she is. And you better do it right before because people are idiots and they'll forget.
Yeah.
We couldn't have put this out in September and wait 6 months because people would have forgotten.
Yeah.
And that's fine, but the movie is just okay. So stop saying things like own the libs, smash the patriarchy. You're an idiot. Quit being an idiot. And if you tell me you're not an idiot, then show me. And don't come back with Captain Marvel's catchphrase, I don't have to prove anything to you. That must be God. Yes.
It was definitely written by women. No,
I don't have to prove anything to you.
But it's not like she's saying this to a man. Like she, I mean, it is
a man. Oh, she was saying it to a man,
but,
Jason.
But it was an alien.
It's bullshit.
It was an alien creed.
Okay, so.
I had no problem with the line or the way it was delivered.
Yeah.
I have a problem with the way people took it to mean this great societal thing. And it didn't.
Okay, so comedian Amanda Seals called out a former professional football player who's now a neurosurgeon on a fucking radio show. She said he had predatorial behavior.
Okay.
On a radio show. She has never met this man before in her life.
That's weird.
They DM'd for a minute. He asked her about coming up. She didn't want to come up, whatever. He moved the fuck on. She claims that she reached out to her girlfriends and all of these people reached out to her. Dude was a Rhodes Scholar. So if you say football player, Rhodes Scholar, I know who the fuck you're talking about because there's only one.
Right.
There's only one black football player who was a Rhodes Scholar.
I was thinking Pat Hayden.
Yeah. No.
He was a football player and a Rhodes Scholar.
So there's one black football player who was a Rhodes Scholar.
Okay.
So she says, well, all these people got it, you know, came back to me and they didn't even know his name. I didn't even say his name. It was like, bitch, it wasn't rocket science. He's the only person.
Well, and we have Google now. It's easy to figure shit out.
Right. Oh, they told me he did this and it. Like, you don't even know whether these women actually met this dude at all. And you're going on a national syndicated radio show saying that he's a predator.
Yeah.
All in the name of, oh, well, if you have an issue with me calling him out or saying it, you're protecting the patriarchy. That was the bullshit that she used when she said it. So that's...
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, no.
Look, I'm tired of hearing about the patriarchy. I'm really tired of it. And I get it. I get it. I'm not a lady. I'm not an angry, oppressed lady. I understand. It was just like when I was tired of hearing about white privilege. I understand. It's not my place to say.
Yeah.
But let's hold off the smashing the patriarchy for things like, I don't know, a woman getting elected president.
Yes.
And not just some fictitious character in a movie saying, I don't have to prove anything to you.
Well, yeah. How about y'all show up for the woman that actually runs for president?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's that. So that was it. I mean, yeah, the whole white nationalist, president and racist white nationalist. That was irritating. Not as irritating as owning the libs and smashing the patriarchy.
Yes.
Just saying.
Let's leave the hustle and bustle for small town news.
I'm glad we got to the important things. Oh, you know, it's not time for small town. Yeah, fuck it. It is time for small town news. God damn it. Before that, I teased this story. A man in Oregon crashed on a highway and then jumped onto a car hood before he was taken into custody. Could have been Florida. It was Oregon. Moving on. It's time for Speak Out from Plattsburgh, New York, where it's cold and grumpy. From March 8th, the U.S. debt is the most it's been. $22 trillion. Thanks, Trump and your Republican minions. We'll be bankrupt before he's out of office. And they kept my tax refund this year.
A lot of people.
Respect. Hoping the Airborne Raceway owner follows up on the smoking and the grandstand. This includes you people puffing your e-cigarettes. There are many people who have cancer and other health issues. Children shouldn't be subjected to the smoke either. Please respect others. Jason. And your e-cigs.
Yeah.
Hey, show me a 20-foot wall and I'll show you a 22-foot ladder. Or a creek or a lake or a drain pipe or a tunnel. It's not that simple of a problem to solve, but our stable genius can only understand the simplest things.
Wow. I'm ready for the pro-Trump one coming up.
Well, maybe. The Plattsburgh City Police website stopped listing arrest records. It has said no arrests reported for over a month. We either have the safest city in the country or someone stopped doing their jobs. What about open government?
What?
Yeah, what about open government?
What?
Yeah, what about that?
What?
Open government. We need to have that. Hey, why is the city spending time discussing banning straws when we have potholes and broken walk bridges? I know their argument is they can do more than one thing at once, but they should do one thing well versus two poorly.
True.
I mean, sure. But I don't understand how, you know, necessarily you're going to fix potholes by not anyway. Resistance to the border wall has nothing to do with money, but everything to do with resisting the president. Common sense dictates the barriers work. The law enforcement at the border state they need a wall to secure our border. They actually don't.
No.
So why is it that people are so willing to believe a mealy-mouthed politicians over professional protecting our borders? Unbelievable! What mealy-mouthed politician are you talking about? The president? Would you ask a plumber what he needs to fix your drains, or would you ask a politician? Why are Democrats so averse to securing our borders? There you go, Jason. There's the water.
Amazing. I was just thinking about, like, I was listening to the thing about how many workers we have at the for the Border Patrol now.
Yes.
Like that there's something over like 22,000 or something like that employees.
Okay.
I was thinking like maybe that's gonna be Trump's secret task force. I mean that's his SS crew. And yeah. Alright. So just watch out, they'll come for you.
Smash that patriarchy, Jason. Hey, I can remember a time when diagonal parking was tried downtown, and it was a disaster. Can the city council members recall that?
You can't park diagonally. You shouldn't be driving.
Also, I mean, these are people that are elected on a regular basis, right? So it's possible that there's all new people that have been elected.
The mayor should spend less time writing opinion articles about big companies in New York City and more time figuring out how to ensure kids can get to school via a broken bridge. If he had to walk that far each day, it would be fixed.
Somebody needs a bridge mended.
True. And finally, what's with all these fools still kneeling to make a difference? Instead of kneeling, volunteer, donate money. Kneeling only shows your ignorance and does nothing to further your cause. How un-American.
Sit your dumb ass down.
I think there's a lot of kneeling going on at the church. You got a problem with that?
Yeah.
Stupid people! You're sheeple! Get out of here, sheeple! Kneeling at church, believing in that God, that black Jesus.
Oh, not in Plattsburgh. There's no black
white Jesus.
There's no white Jesus.
All right. What an angry way to go out.
There's no white Jesus.
All right. So between now and Friday, I suggest that you smash the patriarchy and own the libs and live your best life. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.